Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Ian Fletcher's Free Trade Doesn't Work, What Should Replace It and Why. 2011 edition is a nonfiction critique of the economic case for unrestricted free trade, written primarily from the perspective of United States trade policy. Fletcher argues that the familiar claim that freer trade reliably benefits all participating nations rests on assumptions that often fail in real economies. Addressing concerned general readers, as well as those with some background in economics, he presents an accessible defense of protectionism, industrial policy, and a more national interest-oriented approach to commerce. The book's purpose is not merely to describe trade deficits or factory closures, but to challenge the intellectual framework used to treat such outcomes as acceptable or inevitable. Fletcher examines how trade affects employment, productive capacity, bargaining power, and long-term national development. His central contention is that trade policy should be judged by its practical consequences for a country's economic capabilities and living standards, rather than by an abstract presumption that lower barriers are always preferable. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book challenges the assumptions behind free trade theory. Fletcher's central project is to question the assumptions that allow conventional free trade theory to produce optimistic conclusions. In simplified economic models, nations specialize according to comparative advantage and then gain from exchange. Fletcher argues that real-world conditions are more complicated. Capital can move across borders, industries may have increasing returns, governments can shape competition, and nations do not begin with equal productive capacities. Under such conditions, the gains predicted by theory may not be distributed broadly within a country, or may not materialize for that country at all. This distinction matters because policy debates often treat comparative advantage as a complete answer to concerns about imports, deindustrialization, or trade deficits. Fletcher contends that it is instead a conditional proposition whose usefulness depends on facts about markets, institutions, technology, and national strategy. His approach emphasizes that economic models are tools rather than automatic policy rules. If their premises do not match the actual trading environment, their policy conclusions deserve scrutiny. The book therefore seeks to move the debate from slogans about openness toward an examination of who produces high-value goods, who captures profits, and whether a nation retains the capacity to support well-paid work. Secondly, trade policy is treated as a question of productive capacity and employment. Rather than evaluating trade mainly through cheaper imported consumer goods, Fletcher directs attention to employment and the composition of domestic production. His argument is that an economy cannot be assessed adequately by the prices shoppers pay at a given moment. It must also be assessed by whether it sustains industries that generate skills, investment, innovation, supplier networks, and stable wages. When domestic production is displaced by imports, the immediate benefit of lower prices may coexist with job losses and weakened industrial ecosystems. Fletcher does not frame this solely as a problem of individual workers needing to adapt. He presents it as a systemic issue. Replacing a productive sector can reduce demand in surrounding communities and diminish a country's future ability to make strategically or technologically important goods. This focus challenges the frequent assumption that workers and capital will move smoothly from declining industries into equally valuable new ones. The book argues that adjustment can be prolonged and uneven, especially where alternative employment is limited. In Fletcher's analysis, trade policy is therefore inseparable from labor market outcomes and national economic development. A policy that expands trade volumes but erodes the domestic base for high-value employment cannot be called successful, simply because aggregate consumption rises. Thirdly, the argument connects persistent trade deficits to national economic vulnerability. Fletcher gives special importance to persistent trade deficits, viewing them as more than an accounting outcome. A deficit means that a country buys more goods and services from abroad than it sells abroad. And Fletcher argues that sustained imbalances can signal a weakening of domestic competitiveness or an over-reliance on foreign production. He challenges the reassuring view that deficits are necessarily harmless because they may be matched by capital inflows. Capital entering a country can finance investment, but it can also represent purchases of existing assets or debt claims. The distinction matters because financing consumption or asset acquisition does not automatically rebuild productive capacity. Fletcher's broader point is that a country should not confuse the ability to borrow, sell assets, or attract investment with the ability to sustain balanced production and trade over time. He also emphasizes that trade outcomes are affected by exchange rates, foreign industrial strategies, and policy choices, rather than solely by consumer preference or market efficiency. This makes deficits a policy concern rather than a neutral market verdict. By placing trade balances in a larger framework of production, ownership, and national resilience, the book asks readers to consider whether an economy can prosper durably while it repeatedly transfers demand for manufactured and tradable goods to producers elsewhere. Fourthly, protectionism is presented as a policy instrument rather than an economic taboo. A distinctive feature of Fletcher's book is its effort to restore protectionism to legitimate policy discussion. In much mainstream commentary, protectionism is often presented as self-evidently backward, inefficient, or politically dangerous. Fletcher disputes that reflexive treatment. He argues that tariffs and related measures can be tools for defending domestic industries against trade arrangements that are not genuinely reciprocal or that are shaped by foreign state intervention. The relevant question, in his view, is not whether every barrier is beneficial, but whether a particular policy improves national economic outcomes under actual competitive conditions. This is a more practical standard than treating free trade as an unconditional ideal. Fletcher links protective measures to the possibility of maintaining industrial capabilities and encouraging domestic investment. At the same time, his position implies trade-offs. Such policies can affect prices, invite retaliation, and require careful design. The book's contribution lies in insisting that these trade-offs should be debated openly, rather than avoided through blanket assumptions. Protectionism is framed not as isolation from the world economy, but as the use of national rules to influence the terms on which a country participates in it. That framing differentiates the book from both simplistic anti-trade rhetoric and purely abstract defenses of liberalization. Lastly, industrial policy supplies the positive alternative to passive trade liberalization. The title promises an alternative, and Fletcher's answer extends beyond opposition to free trade. He argues for an active approach to trade and industrial policy that considers the long-term development of domestic businesses, agriculture, labor, and technologically significant sectors. The underlying premise is that governments already influence markets through taxes, regulations, procurement, infrastructure, education, and trade rules. The real choice is not between policy and no policy, but between deliberate strategy and policies that leave important outcomes to external pressures. Fletcher's case for industrial policy is tied to the belief that high-value industries are not always retained by a country automatically. They can be supported or lost depending on investment conditions, market access, and competitive pressures. A more strategic policy would evaluate whether trade agreements and domestic rules reinforce the capacity to produce, innovate, and employ workers at strong wages. This theme also explains why the book treats trade as a political economy issue, not simply a matter of consumer choice. Decisions about trade rules distribute risks and opportunities among firms, workers, regions, and nations. Fletcher asks readers to judge those decisions by concrete national objectives, including productive self-reliance and durable prosperity, rather than by the narrow goal of maximizing cross-border exchange. In conclusion, Free Trade Doesn't Work is best suited to readers who want a sustained challenge to the pro-free trade consensus, especially citizens, students, policy professionals, and business readers concerned with deindustrialization, trade deficits, and the connection between trade rules and employment. It is also useful for readers who have encountered standard arguments for comparative advantage and want to understand why critics believe those arguments can be incomplete when applied to modern economies. The practical benefit of the book is its insistence on asking concrete questions: what is being produced domestically? Who gains from a trading arrangement? How are deficits financed? And what capabilities may be lost when industries relocate? Intellectually, it encourages readers to distinguish an economic model from the real-world conditions required for that model to yield its promised benefits. Compared with many books on trade, Fletcher's work stands out for combining a forceful protectionist conclusion with an effort to explain the underlying economic reasoning in ordinary language. It is neither a general history of globalization nor a narrowly technical text. Its distinctive role is to make the case that protectionism and industrial policy deserve serious consideration as alternatives to passive liberalization. Readers need not accept every conclusion to benefit from its clear challenge to assumptions often treated as settled. If you would like to support Ian Fletcher, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.